Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, empowering believers through teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the uncompromised Word of God to fulfill their highest calling and change this world through Jesus Christ, to glorify God in all we do, to train up and send out believers, to cover the whole earth with the knowledge of the Lord. Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting program for you today. We're teaching on possessing our inheritance. Now, you and I have an inheritance because as a believer, we've been joint heirs with Jesus. Whatever he got, we got. When he died and was raised from the dead, everything that Satan stole, he took back. Well, we are joint heirs with him. So what he gets, we get. He's the head, we're the body. Now, what happens? A lot of God's people have not possessed what belonged to them. Why? Because we've never grown up. And what makes us grow up is faith. Faith forces us to grow up or to mature. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, here's what it says. The heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, this is saying that even though this heir has a lot of the estate, in other words, he's inherited the whole estate, if he's still a child or childish, none of these things will manifest in their lives. So you see, the church must grow up. Now, faith is the only fight that you and I are supposed to fight, and it's the only thing that the devil fears, because without faith, the enemy can conquer people. But with faith, it'll always put you in the winner's circle. Everything that the devil has stolen, you'll snatch it back. Praise God. Get your Bibles and pencils and paper ready. Let's go into it. It's called Possessing Our Inheritance. Look what it says in John chapter 16 and verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. In other words, I'm going to make it so that you can go directly to the Father for yourself. In other words, I'm taking out the middleman so that you can go directly for yourself. Now, the world likes to keep the middleman in. There are people that like you to come to them because they like to feel good about themselves that somebody's coming to them and can depend on them and so forth. Are you following what I'm saying? But in the kingdom, God is empowering every believer. He's making it so that you can do your own praying. Say amen to that. Let's go to Mark's gospel and chapter 9, please. Let's look at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Now notice what Jesus is a little bit upset about. The fact that somebody else, they calling him to do what they could do. Are you following what I'm saying? And I don't think any preacher likes to preach years and years, months and months, days and days, and still have to do the praying for them, still see no results in their lives, and so forth. Nobody likes that. So what is faith? What faith does, it faith is that which weans you off of depending on other people to do your praying for you, depending on other people. Are you following what I'm saying? And so now we're seeing that whole faith continuum. You know, I teach it in leadership that first you have dependence, and that when you depend on people and so forth and so on. But then you go from dependence to independence, and that's when you don't really have to depend on anybody. You can do your own thinking, you can do your own whatever have you, and you're relying on your own self. But then you go to interdependence, and that's where a group is formed, and the group interdepends on one another, that we depend on one another. But in that group, we got to make sure that if I'm depending on you, you do your job. You see, there are people that sit down on you, you know, and you're dependent on them. Well, that's because they need to go back to dependence. And but I remember when I was in the military and going to pilot training, and that's when they had we had time that we had to first fly small you know Cessnas with a propeller, single propeller airplane, and then we moved into light jets. And I remember one of the biggest times for all of us is when you soloed, and solo was something, because when the solo came, that means the instructor is with you. He tells you, he said, okay, make this landing a full stop. And what you do is you pull up to a full stop and taxi up to the ramp area. And then he said, okay, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna let you kill yourself. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm gonna get out. And he said, now you take it and take it around the pattern about 3 times and come back. Now what you wanna tell him is this: get back in here, I'm not ready. I know when I'm ready, I know me, I'm not ready, so get back in here and let's go together. But that's not the case. That's not what he wants to do. He knows when you're ready. He knows when you're ready to solo. He knows when you're ready to meet the challenges that are before you in terms of learning to fly your own airplane, make your own decisions, so forth and so on. And as you go through the light jets and you solo there, and then you go into the supersonic jets and you have to solo there and so forth and so on. By the time you get to that next solo in the supersonic, you got soloed down pretty good. In other words, you've gotten over the fear that the airplane's gonna kill you, and you've gotten to a place now where you can take it off, do the things that need to be done, air work and so forth, and come back. Then of course they transition you to whatever jet you have as a fighting machine, and then you go to war in that jet. Now, my point to you is that somewhere you got to be weaned off of who's instructing you, and you got to start doing things for yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is a very, very, very important point. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Let's look at verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, now let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This trip was going to be something that Jesus wanted them to develop their faith with. He wanted them to start taking leadership. Again, this is empowerment, that he's preparing them so that they could take over rulership of this earth. He's preparing them so that they could do the things that he did without him being here. And that's what any leader, spiritual leader in the church would want to do if he's a true spiritual under shepherd. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 says, Behold, his soul which is lifted up and is not right in him, but the just shall live how? It didn't say by faith there. It says, by his faith. It's kind of an interesting thing, because the question is here, where is your faith? Now, this is very key, because we're bringing spiritual maturity now. We're bringing people to a place where they can operate independent of Jesus being here and having to fight their battles for them. The Bible talks about the fact that the just shall live by his faith. And what they're doing here is they are going based on the commandment to the other side. And as they're in the perfect will of God, Satan attacks them. Well, when we finally get down to chapter 5, you're going to see why. Because Satan is channeling his control through a demon-possessed man and controlling that whole region, that whole coast. Now, I look at that as tantamount to Satan controlling a system, such as the economic system. And he can make it do whatever he wants it to do. But now Jesus's people are coming on the scene. And we're coming on the scene to take over, to take control. And the devil attacks. And what he brings up here is a storm. Now, this is interesting about this storm. It is not a natural storm. This is a great storm. And this storm is sent to stop these disciples from reaching over to the other side. Because on the other side is the place or the person that he's using to control this whole region. And it's called a strong man. And the Bible says, how can a man enter a strong man's house except he first, come on, binds the strong man? So now they're headed towards this strong man. You see, Jesus is not running from problems, he's running to them. Because he's not here to take sides, he's here to take over. So now Satan comes against him. Now this storm is not from God. And it's interesting how we brought out the last time that religion always leaves a person in a place of non-resistance. Religion does. And religion is also sent to suppress something called desire. So now, here is God's word. And when he gives you a word, he knows that for you to make that word manifest, it's going to have to be done by faith. Now, in this, faith, glory to God, is the fight that we are to fight. That we're not to fight people, we're not to fight denominations, we're not to even to fight the devil. We are to resist the devil. And the Bible say, or in this situation, what the enemy was after was separating them from their faith. Now they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, they didn't obey him. What the wind and the sea obeyed was the man's faith. So the only thing that makes you dangerous to Satan is your faith. In other words, without your faith, you mean nothing. He can attack you, he can make you happy, he can make you sad, he can make you give up, he can make you so forth and so on. He knows that if he can put enough pressure on you without your faith, you'll end up probably coming under whatever he wants you to submit to. But if you have faith, faith is the thing and the only thing that will put you in the winner's circle. It is the only thing that'll get you to the other side. It is the only thing that will strip from Satan everything he's trying to hold back from you. You see, you're going to have to take your inheritance by faith. Now, you're not taking it from God because God's not holding it. Who you're taking it from is the devil. You see, Satan has your inheritance illegally, and you're going to have to fight him or fight the good fight of faith to take it. And we're going to have to use our faith to get to the other side of our promise. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, this is the last will and testament, this Bible right here. And in this, the Lord Jesus Christ had said in here what things belong to us. This is what he left us in the will. Now, if we look at this and he left us something, we're going to have to take this by faith. But let's go over to Mark chapter 11 now, please. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12, and let's start right there. And on the morrow, when he was come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. The word yet there in the King James Bible is, for the most part, is in italics. It's written in italics. The reason why is because it was added at the liberty of the translators. So yet was added. And it gives you the idea that fruit are coming, but they're just not in season yet. No. Jesus was raised for 30 years in that part of the country. He knew when that tree was supposed to have fruit. This particular fig tree was to have fruit when the leaves came. So you could go way back and you could look at that tree from a distance and see leaves. And whenever you saw leaves, fruit was supposed to be there. But when he got up close to it, what was there? No fruit. Jesus said something, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said to it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples, what? They heard it. Look at verse 19. And when the evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Now, another way of saying that is have the God kind of faith. Now, this is the same kind of faith of Abraham that I'm talking about. Now, I'm only saying this because we've been saying the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, how long are we going to say that? Now, bring me the other Bible, please. Now, in this, Jesus cursed that fig tree. And when he cursed it, something happened. The fig tree responded. Now, what did it respond to? It responded to Jesus's words. Now, wait a minute. His words were filled with what? Faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, I want to read that out of the Amplified Translation. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, for me to have things legally, I need a title. If I don't have a title to my car, then the bank still owns it. They're holding the title. Why? Because it ain't mine. But I happen to have a title to my car. I have a title deed to my home. Nobody owns it but me. Now, this is where the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want you to take ownership. He doesn't want you to get to the place where you got your own title. Because something happens when you do. If somebody has a fur coat, and it's a nice fur coat, expensive, and it's on the back of a chair, and then somebody walks by and grabs that fur coat. It's not theirs. They just grab it. And they grab it and walk out with it. Well, you might say, wait a minute, I'm not sure that was his coat. Was that your coat? Said, yeah, that's my coat. Where? What happened? He said, he's walking out with it. What? And run out. But you didn't run out, because it ain't yours. See, something happens to you when you got the title that didn't happen when you was renting. Now, y'all with me here? Now, I'm talking about taking ownership. See, the reason why the Satan can do the things that he's done in the earth is because we haven't taken ownership. The reason why he could come into the Garden of Eden and do all of that, because Adam never took ownership. We got to take ownership over our home. Ownership over them kids. Now, it's a different level now. Stay with me now, and this is not a condemnation speech. This is something that tells you, I want to show you something. Jesus goes on down, and he teaches something. See, this is powerful stuff, folks. He said in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever," are you a whosoever? "Shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Got it? "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire," underline desire, "when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall" what? "Have them." Now, what is he saying now? He is saying now, what things soever you desire. In verse 23, he says, "Whosoever shall" what? "Say to this mountain." Now, question. He didn't say pray to God to move the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. Notice, Jesus spoke to the storm. Didn't he speak to the storm? Notice, Jesus spoke to the tree. Didn't he speak to the tree? He didn't pray to Father one time. And he said, the things that I do, you do. And I'm showing you exactly how to do it, because it's going to be your faith. Are you following what I'm saying? That's going to get that thing moved. Hello, this is Bill Winston, and this is Offering Day at the ministry. It's a time that we give you, the believers, the people who are watching the broadcast, being blessed by our teachings and our partners, an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, this is a powerful time, because as you sow that seed, we then go to the nations and bring the gospel of the kingdom for deliverance from financial captivity and from distresses and from all kinds of sickness and disease. We're seeing miracles all over, multitudes of people coming to Christ. I'm talking about through this one broadcast. Now, this is what God has done for us. When I first came to Chicago, we had nothing. Matter of fact, we didn't even have our own place to stay. A dear sister opened her home to us, and we came here with about $200 to Chicago. But look at what God has done today. But it's not only through the just gift that he's given me or the ministry, but it's through your giving, your participation. So today, I'd like to give you an opportunity to give. Now, you're talking about a good time to give. The Bible says, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied." Now, what does it mean, evil times? Now, this scripture is found in Psalm chapter 37, verse 19. The evil times are times of great stress, the Bible talks about. Perilous time, times where the economy is down, times where people normally can't afford to do anything. But you can. You see, as you do sow your seed, there's a covenant promise that God has made to you, that he'll multiply it back to you with a multiplied return. You see, God wants his people to have abundance. He wants to distinguish us. When times get hard, he wants to lift the church up. He wants to let people see who his people really are. And through that, people will be drawn into the kingdom. So I want to give you an opportunity to give, to sow this seed. Now, as you sow this seed, I want you to sow it in faith. That means believe for a return. Praise God. And we're not being in this in any way selfish. We want to believe for a return so we can have enough, not only to expand this broadcast, but so we can do more for other people. We want to be God's distribution center. So as you prepare your seed, let me pray over it right now. Let's pray together. Father, we bring this seed before you as we sow it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you promised, given, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give into your bosom. And we pray right now and believe the multiplied return, multiplied back to us so that we can have enough to give again. Father, thank you for it. Bless this seed now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God, it's done. Hallelujah. It's on its way back. Seed, you go and you grow. Well, this is Bill Winston. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Salvation, wholeness, peace, prosperity, and divine health. These are all part of your inheritance. How long will you wait before taking possession of the promises that God has already given you? Everything that you need has already been placed within you. Let's go up at once and possess our inheritance, for we are well able to overcome it.
Jesus paid the price for Adam's transgression and took everything back. He did it legally. Now he wants his body to manifest it.
In this series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn how to obtain your inheritance through faith.
For you to get what God has for you, you're going to have to separate your feelings from your faith. Because if God has given it to you, you're going to have to take it by faith.
Order Possessing Our Inheritance today, and Dr. Winston will explain why everything Satan stole from mankind, Jesus got back. Why, as a joint heir with Christ, whatever he has, you have. Why the enemy is after your faith, and much more.
If faith ever comes, it's going to overcome any obstacle that Satan can throw at you that will keep you from reaching your promised land.
To order your copy of Possessing Our Inheritance, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327, or online at www.billwinston.org. Now is the time for the body of Christ to lay hold to the promises of God that are rightfully ours as heirs of God. Order your copy of this dynamic series, Possessing Our Inheritance, today.
Success is a choice. This choice is driven by the decisions you make. In his book, Transform Your Thinking, Transform Your Life, Dr. Bill Winston will tell you why God created you to think big.
As a man thinketh, so is he. Want to change your life? Change your thoughts.
Order your copy today. Transform your thinking. Transform your life.
Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please call 708-697-5000.
The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.